The U.S. Supreme Court sent Wisconsin's redistricting case back to a lower court last month, and when they did, they called into question a metric that puts numbers to gerrymandering. It's called the efficiency gap, a calculation that figures out how many votes are wasted when a district map is gerrymandered. Malia Jones is a social epidemiologist with the University of Wisconsin Applied Population Laboratory. She wrote a recent piece for WisContext looking at what the ruling means for the efficiency gap. Malia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Well, let's start off with the basics. I gave a quick definition there, but what is the efficiency gap in layperson's terms?
The efficiency gap measures, as you said, how efficiently each party can translate their votes into seats in the legislative body. And what we're talking about in this case is the state assembly, so the 99 state assembly districts of Wisconsin. And what the efficiency gap measures is how efficiently can each party translate their votes for assembly persons into seats in the assembly.
And is this a metric that's generally accepted by political scientists and redistricting experts as good a way as any or better than others to measure the effects of gerrymandering?
The people who study gerrymandering, so the efficiency gap is relatively recent on the measuring gerrymandering scene. It came out in 2014 and was used heavily in this recent Supreme Court case, Gill v. Whitford in Wisconsin. But I wouldn't say that it's generally accepted as the measure of gerrymandering, because gerrymandering is a very complicated thing. And it's what the efficiency gap does is boil down into just one number what all the packing and cracking in the whole state map look like. And that doesn't always capture all the aspects of gerrymandering. So there are some critiques of the efficiency gap as a measure. And I think even the plaintiffs in the case were aware of those critiques and presented several measures, including the efficiency gap, to the Supreme Court.
And how specifically did they try to use the efficiency gap as part of their argument?
It was pretty explicit. So the plaintiffs in the case argued that the Democratic voters of Wisconsin had their voices watered down in the state assembly due to the way the assembly districts were drawn through two processes, cracking and packing. And they used the efficiency gap as sort of a measure to summarize how bad the cracking and packing really was.
And I know that you were on with us before and talked about cracking and packing, but can you define those two?
Sure. So these are two processes that are used to achieve gerrymandering. And packing refers to the process of cramming as many voters of one party into a district as possible. And what that does is essentially guarantee that that party will win the election in that district, but it makes the neighboring districts harder for that party to win. So overall, it can tip the balance of power in favor of whoever's drawing the maps. And then cracking is sort of almost the reverse of that process, where you take a geographically clustered group of voters and split them across several districts so that they can never achieve a majority and elect their representative.
So if there's an area that is very Democratic, but it gets divided into three different districts where those districts might have more Republicans, that's cracking up that concentration.
Exactly. So it's splitting up so that in this case, the Democrats can't get a majority in any of the districts.
So some of the justices who were ruling on Wisconsin's redistricting case didn't really find the efficiency gap argument as very convincing. What was their problem with it?
Well, so we can sort of infer what they thought about it based on what they said. They didn't come out and say, we don't like the efficiency gap. But what the Supreme Court ruled, what they did was send the case back to a lower court on the grounds that the plaintiffs didn't have standing to bring the case to court. So the Supreme Court has jurisdiction over cases where the plaintiffs can show that they were personally injured and have something to gain by the outcome of the case. And what the justices said was that the plaintiffs had failed to show that. And to give a concrete example, they called out Bill Whitford, who was the lead plaintiff in the case, who lives in Assembly District 76 in Madison, Wisconsin, and said that really this district is so heavily Democratic leaning, that under no plausible circumstances could it be drawn in a way that would be any that would result in a different outcome. And so the Supreme Court decision suggests that they were really looking for an individual district metric of gerrymandering and ignoring the kind of the more general pattern of what happens when you add up all the districts. And the efficiency gap is a calculation based on all the districts. So it sort of suggests that they didn't completely accept the efficiency gap as this, what's been called in the media, the holy grail of measuring gerrymandering.
We're talking with Malia Jones right now. She's a social epidemiologist with the University of Wisconsin Applied Population Laboratory. And so, Malia, you were just saying that you can't really use the efficiency gap looking at a single district, but what would a lawsuit then look like if you had to look at the state as a whole or all the districts kind of working as part of a larger machine?
Yeah, it's an interesting question that I think we don't really know the answer to yet. We'll see what happens when the case does go back to the lower court, what kind of tack they decide to take in establishing this issue of standing and establishing that the plaintiffs have been personally injured by the way the district map was drawn. I think what's really interesting about the ruling is that the Justice Roberts in particular statement said that that the plaintiffs, gerrymandering is a process that happens within a district. And so the way each plaintiff's district is drawn is really what's central. But what it ignores is the fact that districts are not drawn one at a time. They are drawn all at one time.
Well, and they're contiguous to other districts.
And each acre of Wisconsin, each part of a district has to be in one and only one district. So gerrymandering is something that happens between districts. It's sort of by its nature is this tension, or cracking and packing can create a dynamic between districts. And the statements from the Supreme Court justices really ignore that. So it would be very interesting to see what happens next with the case.
As a demographer, are you aware of other tools either that already exist or might need to be invented to have a more convincing argument on either side of a redistricting gerrymandering case that would be something that might be more convincing to, say, Supreme Court justices than the efficiency gap?
Yes. So there are a lot of different ways to measure gerrymandering. And the efficiency gap measures a concept called partisan symmetry. And the concept of partisan symmetry is basically, are the parties treated equally under the law, the way that it plays out. And so the efficiency gap, what it does is measure how unequally is each party able to turn their votes into seats, right? But there are several other ways to measure that same concept. And actually the experts who come up with these measures and study gerrymandering all the time recommend you use a combination because, as I said, they do all sort of have their weak spots. One of the things that the efficiency gap struggles with is that people are, you might say, naturally packed into areas. So, for example, District 76 that we were just talking about is a very heavily Democratic-leaning district. And that's just sort of the way it is. You know, it's central Madison, and that is an area that people make decisions about where to live based on all kinds of things around their social background. And those decisions also affect how they vote. So the efficiency gap struggles to account for that kind of natural packing. There are other measures that could be used in combination with the efficiency gap, and some of them that would address this issue of what does an individual district look like. I think one of the most promising ones that was actually presented as part of the last Supreme Court case and will likely become more prominent is based on computational simulation. So what we can do is have a computer draw hundreds of sort of possible maps and then compare the results of voting in those maps within those maps to what we really see given the district map as it's drawn in the legislature as it stands. And that kind, it's called sampling. So you take kind of the whole spectrum of possible maps and look at where the map that exists falls on that spectrum. That's already been done for Wisconsin, and those calculations also support that this map was really purposefully drawn to offer an advantage to Republicans in the state assembly. And I think that those methods are really emerging right now, and that will probably become more, certainly more central to research in gerrymandering, and I'd be surprised if it wasn't a big part of the case coming back.
Well, Malia, thanks so much. Really interesting as always.
Thank you.
That was Malia Jones, social epidemiologist with the University of Wisconsin Applied Population Laboratory. She was talking with us about her recent piece for WisContext, What's Next for the Math at the Heart of Wisconsin's Redistricting Lawsuit. You can find that online at wiscontext.org.